I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. I'm joined by Jordan today, and I'm Max, and we're talking about the Polestar 4, which just had pricing announced for the U.S. market. Jordan, you've actually spent some time hands-on with this car. I, myself, drive a Polestar 2, so we're both familiar with the brand.
This episode is made possible by the support we get from Fort Collins Kia. If you are in the market for any electric Kia, not only do they never add market adjustments, they will deliver your car to you anywhere in the 48 contiguous states for out-of-spec viewers. More information in the link in the show notes.
What is Polestar for those who have heard of the brand watching but are like, what is their lineup at right now?
Yeah, it's kind of a, well, I was going to start this with, you know, from the makers of weirdly lifted sedans, we have another weirdly lifted sedan. But they are kind of a, I don't know, offshoot of Volvo. I mean, people sometimes get them confused. People sometimes think they are Volvo. They are different, but there's a lot of underpinnings that are the same, and it kind of makes sense. The interior ethos, some of the design language, it feels very Volvo. It is kind of almost like a sporty version of Volvo, but they're completely different. They have all an equally weird naming convention, I would say. Not really weird, it's just numbers, but they also don't necessarily go hand in hand with, you know, we had Polestar 1 and then we had 2, but now I think we're getting 4. Next will come 3, and 3 is bigger than 4 in some ways.
Yeah.
But 4 is more powerful. So I don't know.
their naming convention is really just the current model they originally planned. The issue for Polestar has been, I think they wanted the Polestar 3 to be out months ago now, and we'll have a separate podcast episode about that because that's also imminent. But Polestar 4 is actually launching slightly earlier because it's a totally different vehicle. Like you were saying, Jordan, it's in some ways sportier, more sedan-like than Polestar 3, but also less premium and a bit cheaper. Platform wise, what's interesting is like Polestar, like you said, Jordan, has Volvo DNA. That's what I think most people are familiar with the brand as, but increasingly that's less and less the case. The Polestar 1, which Kyle actually owns one and drives, is a really cool, like Swedish muscle car hybrid kind of, you know, balls to the wall concept they made that was really interesting. And it based off, I mean, kind of Volvo S90, different proportions, but like that design language had a lot of Volvo going on. It was a Volvo platform. The Polestar 2 was originally unveiled as a Volvo concept in 2016 and then ended up becoming, you know, Polestar's first all-electric vehicle. I drive it. It's great. It's a competitor to the Model 3. It's more handsome. It's significantly less efficient. And then there's the Polestar 3, which is, yeah, like you said, supposed to be their SUV. That's based off the Volvo EX90. But then everything seems to divert from there because the Polestar 4 is actually based off a different platform within the Chinese mega corporation Geely that owns both Volvo and Polestar. And by the way, Jordan, do you know, is it Geely or Geely? I never know how to pronounce it.
I think it's Geely.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, Polestar 4 is interesting definitely. It made kind of headlines with the removal, controversially, of a back window, which Polestar was like, well, this gives, you know, extra storage space and such. So they tried to justify it. I think it does look pretty sweet. Like, the vibe is very sleek and sexy, and I don't know. I'm not a big sedan person, but I'm a big Polestar sedan person because they, quote unquote, redefine sedan. And by that, I mean they actually don't even listen to the definition. Like, they don't call their cars SUV or sedan. They just call them the name because they're like, well, this is what it is.
And like, the Polestar 2 was never really a sedan because that was based off a small SUV platform. And this is also a lifted sedan, seemingly.
So I think they're breaking molds just to break molds. They're breaking naming conventions just to break naming conventions and our brains. But Polestar 4 is definitely awesome. They have the same kind of design on the front of the Thor's hammer type headlights, but it's like a split hammer design. Polestar 3 is similar to this. I kind of saw Polestar 3 and Polestar 4 as similar, like, products, but like one's like more of the sedan sporty one, one's the more luxury SUV looking one. But it is interesting how many things are totally different. Like you said, different platforms, different actual software stacks. The Polestar 4 software definitely felt more futuristic. The Polestar 3 is still working with the portrait oriented screen that we've seen in Polestar 1 and 2. Not the same screen, but like the same kind of design and the Google stuff, whereas Polestar 4 is like a whole new.
But I think they're both Google-based is the weird thing. They both have Google Maps, and they're both Android. They're just, like, wildly different versions of it.
Yeah, which is strange, I think, as a usually the brand ethos, it's like the software is what keeps it all the same. Like, if you buy a Tesla, it's like, okay, they're all going to have the same type of software. It's just what flavor of car do you want? Whereas this really does feel different, but kind of refreshing. I will say, so me and Talit got to ride around in this. We didn't get to drive it. This is early pre-production kind of, well, I don't know how early, but this was last year at Polestar Day down here in LA. And it was super interesting because, yeah, you look behind you, no back window, which felt a little bit claustrophobic, except the glass roof is so good. And if it didn't have a glass roof, I would say that would not work. But because of the glass roof, I still felt pretty open, very spacious. The whole reason they said they removed the rear window is to move that kind of pillar that where the trunk hinge would happen behind the rear passenger's head, whereas usually it might be kind of above the rear head. So it supposedly improves rear storage capacity and the trunk, the boot, whatever you call it, and also improve rear passenger headroom. The rear view mirror then is all digital. Honestly, how the Cybertruck should have been done. This pristine digital rear view mirror where you'd see a normal rear view mirror, one of the best I've ever seen in my life. So they say rear-facing HD camera. I feel like other auto manufacturers would be like rear-facing 4K camera or something, and then it would be terrible. This one is actually phenomenally clear and good.
Yeah, it's a statement piece, in my opinion. I know they told you and Paul, like, it's for passenger space or whatever. I think they kind of did this as an attention-getting move and maybe to give the designers some more legroom, because I'm sure this is probably the future of a lot of, especially, liftback, sport coupes, whatever other body styles get invented in the next few decades to come. This is going to, you know, afford designers some more freedom, and I'm actually here for it, because the reality is, you know, people will say, oh, you know, I want my rear window. I've heard people say that. And I get it, but I think a lot of people who are making that complaint haven't driven modern cars, because modern cars increasingly have worse and worse natural visibility to begin with for a variety of reasons. Some of it's design, some of it's safety regulations, but, you know, it's just increasingly we're dependent on this technology. So if we're going to be so dependent, we might as well have that technology be good. And so it's good to hear from you that the Polestar 4 does indeed at least have a proper rear view camera, a good rear view mirror with the screen. It feels like that's the way you'd want to do it. I know there's still some issues to sort out. Some people will talk about the focal distance issue, where your eyes aren't actually, you know, focusing on the same plane. So you have to refocus them between looking at the road and looking at a screen. So there's some issues that may pop up here and there, but I think it's a really interesting, like, bold experiment in automotive design. Would I want to be one of the first to adopt it as a customer? I don't know.
So I guess talking about that adoption, what is the details on that? Like, what are they charging for this, and how does that compare to Polestar, I guess, 2 and 3?
Yeah, so 3 is more of a, I think that's going to be their most premium vehicle yet. And the weird thing is, from a chassis perspective, despite being an SUV, the Polestar 3 is actually more hardcore than this. It's basically a Volvo EX90, upon which they've done a bunch of things, like adding a dual clutch to the back end so it functions as a limited slip differential, like tons of reinforcing. Our friend Tom Malogny drove a Polestar 4 on the ice and was really impressed with how, sorry, Polestar 3 on the ice, and was really impressive with how sporty that felt. That's like a really hardcore sporty SUV that originally was derived from a three-row SUV, but smaller. But today we're talking about Polestar 4. This is much more towards that luxury end, like you were saying, Jordan, with some sporty options. So, numbers-wise, we're looking at range, because that's the elephant in the room, 300 miles for the single-motor version, and then 270 for the dual-motor all-wheel drive. Not a lot of range. It's going to be 100 kilowatt-hour standard battery in the U.S. for all trims. The pricing starts at 55, 56 grand. I've seen different headlines here, because apparently the pricing has just been announced, but according to Polestar on their site, it's cheaper than what they just announced. So, I don't know. But mid 50 grand is what we're thinking it will start at, and then dual motor will bump that up by 7 or 8 grand. And if you care about performance, that's going to be a big deal, because it's honestly, with single motor rear wheel drive, 6.9 seconds to 60. Not slow, but not really quick. Then you go to dual motor, and it's like 540 horsepower, 3.7 seconds to 60, which would actually make this Polestar's quickest vehicle yet. I drive the Polestar 2, which is actually considerably smaller and lighter, a bit less premium for the backseat passengers, and a bit slower to 60. So this is impressive. You know, this is a heavier, larger vehicle, and it still has a pretty fast to 60 time. So in a straight line, at least, I think this is going to be pretty nice. But I'm not hearing a ton about this chassis being like super sporty. I think the idea is more towards them giving rear passengers lots of comfort with things like, you know, having no rear window and the cool glass roof, which, by the way, is also electrochromatic, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
So it can effectively become opaque. We've seen this on like supercars and some other stuff, but this is maybe one of the first times we're seeing it in a mass production car I can think of.
Toyota had it in their Venza, and well, I guess
Porsche has it.
Taycan. Yeah, and it's a great technology. I hope it becomes just normal. You know, the longer it's out, maybe the cheaper it gets to actually make it. I do have a point to pick. I mean, are they allowed to call this long range dual motor if the range is under 300 miles? Like, I feel like
for a modern EV,
everyone is at this precipice where they're like, if it's under 300 miles, they have to be talked into it. Now, I like to play devil's advocate, because you also just spent some time with the Fiat 500e, which is 150 mile range, and that's actually enough range for most all of my needs. Now, unless I'm road tripping, that's a different story, but around town, and by the way, we live in a very sprawling metropolis, it's still enough range for me to live with. So this whole like, oh, I don't want this unless it has 300 miles range, I'll pick that. I have a bone to pick with that. But on the other hand, I think calling this long range dual motor with a range of 270, by the way, it's EPA, so it may not even hit that on the highway, which of course we're excited to test when we get it. I think that's kind of annoying.
I think it just speaks to basically Polestar doesn't seem to know how to make an efficient vehicle. They have made Polestar 2 a bit more efficient in the refresh, which I drove since the one I have. So like it's a little bit better, and this has adopt similar technology where it has a clutch for the front motor, it can disengage it, but it's still no Tesla. It's no Lucid. It's to me is kind of like, you know, I would say Polestar, if there's a brand they're trying to be and like definitely want to be one day, it's Porsche, right? And Porsche has this concept of fast travel or travel time, which, you know, people will have heard of if they've watched yours or Kyle's coverage of that, right? Where Porsche considers it not just the range figure, but the recharging time. And that's why the Taycan, both in the last generation and the current generation, has such impressive charging. I think the thing that's disappointing to me isn't so much the range, because I never expected that to be good, especially considering you can get 22-inch wheels wheels on the sedan. I think the disappointment is that it's 30-minute 10 to 80%, which is like fine, but by no means class leading. No, you know, 800 volt high voltage architecture. You know, a Porsche Taycan can do 10 to 80% in what now 16 minutes with the newest generation. This is almost double that. Of course, that relies on having the right charger. But I think that's a bit of a disappointment, especially considering that, you know, Geely, Chinese brand, you'd think they could source some really state-of-the-art batteries, but I guess they're not like BYD or CATL. They don't have those connections. And interestingly, I think they want to eventually build this in South Korea. So I'm not sure who's providing the battery, if it's SK Innovations or Samsung or whom, but it doesn't seem to be a class-leading battery. And I think that's kind of the culprit of why this isn't so impressive from both a range and charging perspective. But like you said, Jordan, playing devil's advocate, if most people are driving this as an urban setting in a modern EV, over 200 miles of range is fine. Like, I understand the hesitance that people will have coming from combustion towards that. But Jordan, my question is, who's buying the Polestar 4? Is it someone who's never bought an EV before? Is it someone who is cross shopping with a Tesla Model S or a Volkswagen 87? Like, who do you think this is for?
I think so. I guess one note on the charging. Do you know the charging like peak speed? Did they actually?
I forget off the top of my head. I believe it's like 170, 180 kilowatts, not in the high voltage range.
So not class leading by any means. But yeah, the interesting thing is Polestar 3 and 4, I'm very excited for them. I think there's a lot of really interesting sort of innovation. I don't know if I'd call it innovation per se with like the drivetrain, but just the interior fit and finish is phenomenal. It feels ahead of its class. Like, this is probably a competitor with Volkswagen ID7, maybe a little bit Model S, although it kind of undercuts the price in some ways. But it does feel like a step above even the ID7, which is claimed to be kind of their flagship, almost Arteon replacement. This feels like definitely a leg up on some of the competition in terms of the fit and finish. And I think that's partially what is its saving grace. I mean, if you're not as obsessed about long range, which I think people overhype the long range needs, like we said, and as long as it has decent charging, which this does, this is not like trickle charging, terrible performance like we've seen in some of the other Toyota-ish EVs. this is like totally fine for pretty much everyone. And maybe that's their goal, because on the note of battery, we will see probably a leapfrog in performance on the Polestar 5. That's the one that should be their flagship sedan, quote unquote, Tesla killer. I guarantee we'll see those headlines. Maybe Lucid killer. Maybe we'll see a new headline.
And that's like a hardcore performance one, right?
Well, no, that's just like flagship luxury sedan with their 800 something volt like architecture, battery charging, which is like, I forget, like 100 miles in 5 minutes type of thing is what they say.
They're working with, who's, is it Northvolt, or they're working with a company on that, I believe, right?
Yeah, I forget the company's name, you know, one of those.
I think it's names. One, it's something plus plus, it's some weird name. But anyhow, they're working with a battery company, they've co-invested in on that. And then Polestar 6 is your dream car, it's a roadster. And then Polestar 7 is a reimagining of Polestar 2, which I thought the 4 was supposed to be, so I don't know what's going on, but...
So will the reimaginings just be Polestar... in plus five, as far as numerically speaking. So I can't wait for the second gen Polestar 4, which will be Polestar 9. No, I'm just kidding. But Max, I do want to say, like, Polestar is probably, you know, for who's adopting this, I think Polestar is definitely approachable for the traditional ICE driver. Like, if someone has a Volvo and they're like, you know what, I think I'm going to go electric. As a Polestar 2 owner, you could probably speak to the fact that it's not that different as far as a driving perspective. You still have a similar shifter. You know, a lot of the buttons and feel is the same. I mean, you have one pedal driving, but even that's optional. You can turn that off, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, you can turn it to a low mode or off and even have it creep, just like, you know, you can in Polestar 2. So I think in Tesla, you can also turn creep on, but you can never really turn one pedal off. But Polestar is totally approachable, still has stocks in the steering wheel, in terms of the more radical things that some of the other brands like Tesla are doing with full self-driving, quote unquote, or supervised, I think it's called now, this has an improved driving assistance system. So it's Pilot still. They still charge extra for it, but it has lane change assist. And I think it's more advanced. It's not like what we're seeing, weirdly enough, on Polestar 3 and Volvo EX90, which is LiDAR-based, and that's maybe supposedly going to be amazing. This is less ambitious, but it's also better than what I have in my Polestar 2. And what I have in my Polestar 2 is basic lane centering and adaptive cruise. And it's like fine, but it's definitely not class-leading. They haven't talked too much about this, which tells me maybe it's not going to be class-leading either. But, you know, it's weird because like Polestar, in my mind, I never really understand what they're going for. Initially, we thought at the gate, they would be performance focused, right? Doing things like the Polestar 1. But then here we are praising the Polestar 4 most of all for its luxurious appointments. And then in some ways, they're also a very tech forward brand. You know, they've always done the phone is key thing, letting you do one pedal driving, and then having, you know, the nice interior screens. And yet, you know, they in other ways aren't exactly leading the charge on technology. So I never really know what this brand is, but I guess maybe it's just, you know, for those customers who are willing to be a bit more experimental than buying a basic Volvo, or maybe don't want to buy a Tesla, it's a good alternative. I don't know. Like, who is Polestar, Jordan?
Why is Polestar? yeah, it's, I don't know. I think maybe they're still trying to figure that out. I mean, the marketing speak is like, oh, we've left behind, or they called it SUV coupe transformed. So they're trying to figure out how to redesign or recreate the SUV coupe. And they're, you know, coupe form with SUV functionality. They said those when they showed us the Polestar 4, and I was like, okay, these are like very marketing speak, and they're just trying to like, you know, explain away with some of the things they did. And I think some of it makes sense, but the design's interesting. I think Polestar has a place in the market for sure. In fact, if I had to go rent an EV for a week to do most normal things, I probably would lean Polestar because I think they're very interesting, and I'm all about what's the interesting vehicles. And Polestar 4, I can't wait to drive them back to back. I rode in them back to back, but that didn't really tell me a whole lot other than like, wow, they're both impressive. Now this is a spring suspension system, whereas Polestar 3 I think is on air.
Yep.
So that's definitely a bit of a difference.
But active dampers.
Yeah, and so in some ways the 3 did feel like, oh, this is the nicer higher end one, but then the Polestar 4 got a bigger center screen, also a bigger driver screen, by the way. The driver screen is 10.2 inches up from, I think, 9 inches in Polestar 3. Yeah. But then a worse sound system, Harman Kardon, instead of the Bowers & Wilkins, the Polestar 3. But it's a really good Harman Kardon. it's just like, I don't really know what's... Oh, and then they went crazy with ambient lighting. They have like solar system modes in the software of Polestar 4, where it's like, you can pick Saturn and it'll change the ambient lighting to reflect Saturn. Because we've been there, I guess. I don't know.
It's space themed somehow.
It's very
which I guess Polestar always has had that going, because it's one, the brand is Polestar, and then also they've done like the launch colors for my car, I have Moon was one of the colors, and they had Void and Jupiter and all this stuff. So maybe they're leaning a bit more into that. I hope they do more of that, because I feel like things like that is what can help set them apart as a brand and help me consider this over a BMW i5 or an i7, because like we're talking about, it is nicer in some other ways, but I think like if you're not you or I, we both appreciate weird offbeat cars. It's a hard case to make for Polestar to someone who might be more risk averse and be like, I don't really know, like, what is Polestar? Where can I even get this thing serviced? Like, it's there's a bit more unknowns with this brand. So there's some benefits to that. You know, if you like the Tesla Lucid Rivian experience of ordering online, no haggle price, you get that with Polestar, which is cool.
Yeah. And I think leaning into some of the themes like the kind of space ethos. I mean, my friend Bennett is obsessed with Polestar now, partially because I think he experienced yours maybe when he was visiting, but also he's like really into space things. So he'll probably just buy one of these eventually. I actually was checking my notes and I did see that it says LiDAR, but I don't know if they removed that, because when they showed it to us and Polestar Day, Polestar 4 has had LiDAR and 12 cameras and radar and vehicle to load capability. But I don't know how much of that really finally made production.
Let's look in the configurator page, which hopefully should have the most up-to-date info and figure that out. I guess let's just spec our dream Polestar 4. What is the best Polestar 4 spec, Jordan? Where do we begin?
I would just say long range dual motor, may as well go for it. And this is, you know, we were talking about competitors earlier. This is like weirdly in between a lot of price points. Like it does undercut, I think, Model S and i5, but and maybe ID7, although I'm not sure about pricing on that yet. But then it's more expensive than some of the, I guess, more entry level sedans. So I don't know that, but their color palette's amazing. I mean,
it's a little bit muted for my taste, but you know, there's my favorite brown adjacent gold color.
Yeah, Max would order gold on beige with yellow seatbelts. Just all
everything just
tones.
Has to be a shade of tan.
And I'll get all the cool tones. What's the one above gold?
That's Electron. So atomic and space themed. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they should do some Fallout co-branding or something. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
But so for it is
our
very
audio listeners, I'll try to explain what's happening. But we are, building this gorgeous car. By the way,
what price are we at, Jordan, so far? We've selected the $1,300 Electron and dual motor. We're at, what, 76 grand?
76 grand after, what made it 76? Dual motor.
Dual motor. And then, there's some other things that we have selected here. So we'll just talk about the price at the end. Interior
can really get expensive.
Yeah, should we go with the Napa leather that's ventilated? That's a $5,000 option.
You gotta have massage seats, man, and headrest speakers. Like, yeah, just go full. Yeah. And is it animal welfare Napa, or is that just the top option? That's
kind of the other. It's like, which kind of eggs can you afford? How ethical can you be? If you get the budget one, then it's not animal welfare. It's non-sustainable leather. Yeah. But here we've got the nice leather upgrades. Now this
looks great.
Oh yeah, it's primo. And then upgrades is where it gets weird, because Polestar 2 has been, I think, plus Pilot performance. There's a new in-between package here. So Pilot is just the basic, you know, lane assist, adaptive cruise control, all of that, which is nice. Let's actually see, does it have LiDAR? They're advertising Pilot Assist. They're not talking about LiDAR, but it will give you the just Pilot Assist and Lane Change Assist. The nice thing is you get a standard 360-degree camera and adaptive cruise. Long overdue.
Yep. But that's... So what Pilot Pack is included? So you do...
If you get the dual motor, it's included.
Oh, okay, right. So then...
Yeah. And then you get the Plus Pack... Assistance. Is like the luxury one, heads-up display, nicer interior, the power tailgate, which I guess isn't standard. That's interesting. Auto-dimming mirrors, rear screen, which is a standard feature on the new Model 3, 12-way adjustable front seats, nice. Power reclining rear. Okay.
Those are nice.
No wonder this car's so heavy. Heated steering wheel and rear seats, three-zone climate control, air filtration, cool. So that's Plus Pack, $5,000 for that as well.
Just give me rear cooled seats. That's all I'm asking for. Anyway,
Besides Hyundai Motor Group needs to figure out how to get this alien technology into cars. Pro Pack is the new one. So we're talking about Performance Pack. That's been a Polestar thing before. Pro Pack is kind of like a light Performance Pack with some cosmetics. To me, it seems very expensive. $2,000 gets you non-forged, but nicer, supposedly 21-inch Pro wheels, and not Swedish gold seatbelts, gold striped seatbelts. So there's a little gold stripe running through them.
That's how people know you're performance leaning, but not performance oriented.
Oh, you also get gold valve stems.
Is that all it comes with?
That's it.
Okay, well, yeah, not really worth $2,000 in my opinion, but
they're taking a page from Apple with Pro there, I guess.
At least they are more, it's more expensive than the wheels that you could order for the Mac Pro. So that's saying something.
Yes, but if you really want to go, and because they're exclusive, you can't get Pro and Performance. If we're really talking about our dream Polestar 4, we want Performance Pack. So $4,500 tacked on there. But here's what that gives us. And you can only, by the way, get this in the dual motor, because who in their right mind would try to spec this on the base one? 22-inch Performance wheels, forged, Polestar engineered chassis tuning, Brembo brakes, Swedish gold accents. And then it's interesting, no Öhlin suspension, which is a Swedish company renowned in the racing and the rally world. I have it on my Polestar 2. This time they're actually using adaptive electronic dampers from ZF.
Hmm. Interesting. Another partnership. And now we've breached $80,000.
Oh, God. Yeah, this vehicle can get expensive. But what do you think of all these performance accoutrements where also get properly gold seatbelts?
I think it's pretty fantastic. And I would love to drive this, you know, back to back with Taycan. Taycan is like one of those halo cars for performance, even if it's not class leading speed. Like if you get one of the entry level Taycans, although the new Taycan has improved even the base model, I would love to see how those compare to this. I do think those will outdo it. They're probably a bit lighter, they're a bit more performance oriented, but compromise in space and technology. I just don't love the Taycan tech and how you interact with it as a driver, whereas Polestar I think is a step above for sure. We have to add the electrochromatic glass roof still.
Yeah, $2,000 there. And then do we want color matched molding? That's another $1,000.
What are color matched? Oh.
So you can see because of it's an electric car and has a battery floor, this has quite the undercarriage going on. Lots of black plastic. So if we really want the best looking Polestar 4, we want to delete some of that with color matching.
Interesting. Yeah. So now it's 83.5. Now we're probably done. Are we, please?
Do we want an electronic releasing tow bar hitch?
2,600.
This has a maximum towing capacity of $3,500, which is also actually, sorry, 3,500 pounds. British and current confused. It's Tuesday, isn't it? But it's actually, you know, like, 3,500 pounds isn't terrible. It's no, you know, it's not truck specs, but like you could, it's a very European option. I don't know what in America you could tow that would fit within that, but like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.